Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the all-new Opel Crossland. Beauty isn't scared of life.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Line of Duty returned to our small screens recently with a whopping 9.6 million people watching the first episode of the long-running series. But what is it that makes a successful crime series, and why can't we get enough of them? Deirdre Malumbi from entertainment.ie is here to discuss the next crime series that you should put on your must-watch list. And we're also joined by former Assistant Garda Commissioner Pat Leahy to analyse how true to life they really are and whether Gardaí end up, do they, Pat, cringing an awful lot of the time when you're watching cop shows?
Certainly some of the time, Philip. I'm a very difficult person to sit down and watch a crime show with.
Does your wife have to put up with an awful lot of, it would never happen like that?
Absolutely. Oh, my God. I have her heart broken with it, Philip.
Deirdre, take me through Line of Duty, because at face value, something that is that dry and that technical about the procedure of how cops go about investigating themselves doesn't exactly sound like a recipe for compelling television, does it?
I mean, that's just it. As with all things, it's kind of hard to nail down exactly what it is that makes Line of Duty so successful. But I think that at least part of it has to be in those performances. You have the three leads in Martin Compston, Vicky McClure and Adrian Dunbar, who all give like really, really impressive performances. And you've had some great guest stars over the years as well, like Stephen Graham and Thandi Newton over the years. And currently Kelly MacDonald, who's just a terrific actress. She's the guest star on the current
Absolutely.
Season.
Stellar performances from these people, but they're given dialogue that is often absolutely impenetrable jargon.
I mean, I think that part of it is just the escapism and the silliness of it all. I think there's also something kind of enjoyable about the fact that, you know, it's this corruption narrative. They're kind of wheedling out the bad guys who are getting their comeuppance. And I think that another thing that makes Line of Duty really successful is the fact that each season only consists of six episodes. And I mean, I think that part of the reason why, you know, people really resist committing to shows. So when you've got a really easy running length like that, it's kind of easier to binge through as well, I would argue anyway.
Pat, what do you make of Line of Duty? Because on one level, it must superficially ring very true that is the kind of the language and the procedure that you guys have to use. But then there's this incredibly far-fetched and ridiculous, but nonetheless, for people like me, captivating conspiracy in which the whole thing is set.
Well, I think season five has all that, Philip, and you're absolutely right. Look, there's some parts of it are compelling, and they do reflect the reality in terms of the oversight and the decision-making and things like that. But in terms of the corruption that we're looking at the moment, I'm kind of gone cold to it at this point in time, and I don't think that Adrian Dunbar is, I suppose, performing like he has in the previous series. So I'm kind of after going as a little bit cold.
How can you say that? How can you dare to even think about criticising Detective Inspector or Detective Chief Inspector Hastings?
Well, I think they've gone into the stratosphere at the moment with the corruption. And I suppose my knowledge of the UK and UK police forces comes into the fore for me. Then I'm saying, here, look, if it was that bad, it would have been shut down. There'd be far more happening. There'd be far more people involved in it. And it's just taking it a little bit too far. If it was an American drama, it would be probably a little bit more believable because we can look back and we can see the corruption that took place in the States. And it's still taking place. In fact, I think it cost them about $400 million in the last 5 years in lawsuits. But we can go back and we can pick out actual incidents of that type of corruption in the States. I think the Dirty 30 comes to mind there in around the early 90s.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, things like the West Midlands Serious Crime Squad and the reaction to the Hillsborough catastrophe, you know, there's a fair bit of source material there for Jed Mercurio, the writer of Line of Duty.
There is indeed. But I mean, going back to Hillsborough, and indeed, that's very recent. That only finished last year. And it's a horrendous story, but it just, for me, it doesn't reflect what we're seeing at the moment. And Line of Duty doesn't reflect the reality for me. And I've looked at it for a while. I was quite, you know, taken with it. But it's a little bit like The Bill. I think this is a kind of a follow-on from the Bill, where I remember watching the Bill and thinking, who would want to work in that environment? Everybody hates everybody. You know, they're just unkind to each other. It's a terrible environment. So I kind of said, ah, here, look, it doesn't happen like that. Move on, find something else.
Well, which raises another issue, Pat. Do you get hacked off that every single cop has to have an issue or a drink problem or some terrible secret in their past that they're hiding, that there aren't just plain, boring, straightforward fellas who want to go in, do the job, come home?
Absolutely. Look, and I would reflect on the likes of True Detective for that. Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson in True Detective really caught me. And I really enjoyed it. Even though McConaughey was flawed, I think it was a believable flawed. But when I went into the second season then with Colin Farrell, that's exactly what happened. I said, ah, here, this fellow's so broken that he couldn't be allowed to continue. So, again, I went cold to the second season. But if we were to bring in the reality piece, if we were to look at the likes of The Wire, I think they got that so well.
Okay, now there's going to be a difficulty here. If the three of us start talking about The Wire now, we are going to completely exclude everybody who has never watched it. So, Deirdre, let me just pick up on one thing that Pat said there. Isn't it really interesting how something like True Detective in its first series can be an absolute hit? They don't change the formula that much for a second series, but it can flop so badly.
I mean, I suppose the fact that you have like a completely different like storyline and everything, and I don't know what it was, because I do think that it was the same writer, Nick Pizzolatto, sorry if I'm mispronouncing that. But really, like season one of True Detective, I think, like, never mind police and detective shows, it is one of the best series of all time. I thought that Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson are just phenomenal in it. It is thrilling. You cannot stop watching it once you're into the first episode. But yes, yeah, somehow, even though in season two, you've got such great cast members, Vince Vaughn, Colin Farrell and Rachel McAdams, it just became so sluggish in its pacing and it had a really satisfying ending as well. So I'd probably recommend to give that season just a skip altogether. It's just not really worth your time. But then the third season does star Mahershala Ali. My understanding was it was a big improvement on season two, but to be honest, season two put me so off it that I haven't seen season three yet.
I was so damaged, I just wasn't in a position emotionally to commit to it. So now let's get down to the Wire. I presume that all three of us, well, Deirdre, let's start with you, are in agreement that this is the detective series beneath which all others must bow.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. I mean, it's former President Barack Obama's favorite series of all time. So if that doesn't tell you everything that you need to know, for people who are unfamiliar with it, the whole idea is that it's set in Baltimore and it kind of looks at various institutions. It looks at the drug scene of the city through the eyes of the drug dealers and then also those trying to bring them to justice. But I think that it really effectively kind of shows both sides of the coin. There's some terrific, terrific performances in it as well. It stars Dominic West, also our own Irish actor Aidan Gillen. But what I love about it as well is that it really brought Idris Elba, the actor, to the attention of the world. And then he would go on to star in Luther, which is another procedural series that I have to give a shout out to because I adore Luther. Very kind of silly and over the top, very different to The Wire tonally. But both shows are great, really enjoyable.
Pat, why did you like The Wire?
It was almost prophetic. Philip, it really reflected what was going on in Baltimore or what had been going on in Baltimore at the time. So like it really is almost a true story. But I think they were very clever in how they pushed the boundaries on the pressures that drug dealing, street drug dealing brings to communities. The traditional response by the police, no innovation, no creativity. The pressures coming on from the key stakeholders, like, you know, that it was all about crime up, crime down, and therefore that's the response you were going to get, stop and search. But when they introduced the Hamsterdam concept, they really just said, look, you know, this is not a crime issue at all, really.
We should explain that this was an area of the city in which drug dealers were allowed to go about their business unmolested by the police, and that this was officially sanctioned for a short while as a project.
Correct, provided they behaved themselves and that there was no assaults and there was no violence in there, that they'd get on with their business. And I think what it really showed was it's only when the drugs interacts with normal society that you get this violent, explosive combination. And that once they were allowed to do it, it just says that like a police intervention has never cured drug addiction, is what they were saying. So you have to be more creative about how you go about it. Stop and search and these very short-term operations that the police put in place to satiate, you know, local communities just doesn't work. You need a far longer term solution to it, so you need to think outside the box. So I think they threw it at everybody, and we were seeing that problem in Dublin at the time with heroin in the early 80s there in the late 90s. And sure, this just came out and said, look, here's exactly what it's about. You know, here's how you have to treat this as an innovative solution to it. It's not a criminal issue. It is a medical issue. You know, so really hooked me. But the characters were fabulous.
But I think, Deirdre, what was amazing about it was that here you had a cop show that wasn't afraid to tackle big societal issues like the future of work, the failures of the public school system, the iniquities of media and how it covers society, that there was a huge amount in there above and beyond just a cop procedural show.
I mean, that's just it. I think that what's so important about these shows is that there are kind of multiple layers and there's strong characterization and there are different perspectives that you can kind of latch onto. So I think that that is a huge ingredient to its success and everything. And it was just able to flow from one season to another, even though they are kind of very, you know, standalone as well. So it really is one of the great series that's out there. If viewers are trying to find it, by the way, you can get it on Now or on Sky, I think. And I think that, again, I am convinced that people decide what to watch based on their duration, and The Wire is one of those longer running ones, but I absolutely have to say it's so worth watching.
Indeed. Have you had a problem, Pat, finding anything then that measures up to The Wire since then?
Well, I tell you what has me hooked at the moment is Mindhunter.
Oh, really? Okay. This was the FBI serial killer crew.
Absolutely. But I think they were very clever again, Philip, because you're dealing with all of the key serial killers over the years. You know, you've Ed Kemper, David Berkowitz, Charles Manson, Richard Speak, Dennis Rader, all true stories. And all of the interviews that we're watching on the series are reflective of the interviews that actually took place.
And very ordinary looking people, not absolute monsters when you saw them in the flesh.
I think that's what really makes it interesting. I think it forces people to say, oh my God, you expect to meet a monster here. You know, but that's not what you get.
Was that your real life experience, Pat?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, if we've seen it ourselves, if you've reported on it yourselves in RTE, some of the people that have been engaged in the most outrageous crimes over the last 10 to 20 years in Ireland, they're just unimaginable, but ordinary people that did the most outrageous things.
But television tends to never depict them in those terms, that there's always heightened or exaggerated for dramatic effect. Again, it must be hard for you to find something that rings true.
Well, this particular one, Mindhunter, does. I'm absolutely caught up with it, and it takes an awful lot now to really get me hooked and saying, I can't wait for the next episode.
Life after The Wire does exist for you in the form of Mindhunter. Deirdre Malumbi, for you, has there been a worthy successor?
I have to second, actually, Mindhunter, because everything in that series, between the acting, the cinematography, the writing, the drama and the ambience, everything in it is just crafted so exquisitely. I think the fact that you have David Fincher, who'd be known for such movies as, you know, Seven and Zodiac, he's one of its directors and executive producers. I think that that kind of quality is really kind of reflective there. One show that I'd love to give a shout out to, just because I think it's one of those hidden gems on Netflix. It actually came out in the year 2019, but it didn't really get a lot of attention, which I think is a big shame. But it's based on the Nirbhaya case in India, and it's kind of a dramatized version of the Delhi police investigation into finding criminals. Okay. This would have been, I don't know if people remember.
Is that in Hindi with subtitles, or is it in English?
You know, it's quite, I think that it actually crosses over between the two languages. Okay. So it is sometimes with subtitles, and then sometimes it's in English.
Right.
So I know that some people are put off by subtitles, but really you shouldn't be. It is quite an unsettling watch. I'll warn viewers. It's quite a like it can be quite upsetting at times, but I just thought it was a really immersive and really powerful series.
Very good. Thank you very much. Two worthy successors then to people looking for TV detective life after The Wire. Deirdre Malumbi and Pat Leahy, thank you both very much.